Well, if I say no, are we just not going to record it?
Yeah, do we just, wait?
No, we're recording it, actually.
Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lifecast.
Oh, shit, this is... hi.
You're
we're
here?
Live on Twitch.
No.
What?
We're live on a podcatcher near you, live whenever you play this. We go live on demand.
Oh, wow. So we just, like... in this virtual space, and we're just waiting for someone to click on the podcast, and then when they click on it, we start recording.
Yes.
What happens if multiple people listen at the same time?
We are omnipotent.
Okay. Does Comcast On Demand have, like, a podcast widget?
No.
No.
I wish it did.
That'd be cool.
Spotify
but also,
has podcasts now, though.
Also,
I want to get on Spotify. Mm. That's my goal for this.
It seems like only, like, really big people are on Spotify.
Oh, no, yeah. I think my brother and me just got on Spotify, like, within the last month, so... Well,
like, I know Rhett and Link just started advertising their podcast there, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, literally everyone I've seen, it's the big boys.
Yes.
It's not.
It's people that, like, podcast for an actual living.
Yeah.
And not small folk.
Yeah.
Not a small business owners.
It's 1% of podcasters. You're not a small business owner. I'm the small business owner.
It was just the giant bomb joke.
Okay, yeah. So this is episode 95 of the Lifecast. We have Sydney.
Wow.
Hello.
That's the year
Sydney's birthday. It's Sydney's birthday today.
It is.
On this day that we're recording. We have Adam.
Wow. Hi. I'm great to be here.
We have Dan.
Yo.
What's going on, everybody?
It's my birthday.
Yeah. Tiffany's
offer. I'm all set.
I'm going to narrate.
I'm not a big fan of
Tiffany
beef.
Is in the room, the podcast room, eating.
Just ruining the audio quality.
The mics can't pick her up.
Yeah, I know. I was just...
the real thing that's ruining the audio quality is me trying to open my water bottle right in front of the microphone. Mm.
They
and probably, like,
too.
Slurping. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
The background of this is last week, I think Tuesday, we, as a collective group, decided to watch... pickle eating ASMR, and I had to excuse myself from the room because I was legitimately physically ill.
Yeah,
I was not there for this.
Yeah,
but I think I've sent somebody pickle eating ASMR, and I enjoyed it. But I also like pickles, and I feel like you can't like pickles and not slightly enjoy the crunch.
I love pickles. It was the
it sounded
chewing.
Like bones.
Yeah. Yeah, I love
kind of like that though.
I don't want to listen to someone else crunch a pickle.
I don't like.
I would like to. The fuck?
Okay. Just period.
All right. Well,
I don't
too
like
salty
pickles.
For my taste.
You don't like
cucumbers.
Cucumbers aren't bad. They're the pickles without the salt.
Yeah, cucumbers are good. They're the water vegetable.
Yeah.
I hate them.
I love them.
Like
no.
Aren't cucumbers technically a fruit? I think they're technically a fruit.
No, those are tomatoes.
No, like tomatoes too, but I think cucumbers are also
technically
a fruit.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Strawberries are also fruit.
What? Wow.
But they're not berries.
Yeah.
Yes, but bananas are.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tiffany wrote me a note and said, that ASMR made me eat pickles, and I don't even like them.
Is that good?
Yeah, really?
Sydney, move your mic so it's like directly over a leg. Like
yeah,
like
your knob, your mic knob.
No, Sydney.
It's spaghetti.
Who got ketchup on one of my XLRs?
Who got ketchup on it? I think it's Kennedy's fault.
Kennedy has not been here in months.
Is it dry ketchup?
Yeah.
Sounds.
Ew.
No, you're not.
Sounds like she's back on the table.
Like this.
No.
How about you just hold it? No,
not like that. No.
Hand right here.
Yeah. Hand on the base. Everyone, put your hands
perfect.
On the base of the. I am forcing you. Okay. Just yep. Perfect. Like this.
Okay.
Like this. Yeah. There we go, everybody.
Like it's a glass of wine.
Not like it's a glass of wine. You're gonna drop it.
Just tilt it all about. I'm sure it makes for fine audio quality.
About video games.
Why? I think this is good.
Yeah, this is a great like introductory bit, but we need to actually talk about video games because our show has structure now.
I just got
believe
like
it or not.
I just got like a little bit of the microphone in my mouth, and I think I might die now.
Are you gonna be?
Do
sick
we still
for
have those
week?
Disinfecting wipes downstairs?
I don't want to put them in my mouth.
I almost put mouthwash.
Oh yeah, you dropped
too.
A metal in them. Okay, those
what?
Are no, fucking gone.
No,
I'll clean them tomorrow.
The circle donut thing.
And then I took the hole out to find it, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, so the cleansing wipes are dirty.
Oh, no. Okay.
This is fantastic. Tiffany was telling us a story about how I think she dropped an earring back.
The circle donut.
A gauge.
Part.
Oh, yeah. How are your gauges?
Yeah, the screw back, the gauge.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She dropped the rubber part of a gauge, like for ears, in the disinfectant wipes, and then took the disinfectant wipes out to try and get it. Thank you for that.
Okay,
thank you for letting me know, because I would have wiped it all over these microphones.
Was it already in your
I probably
ear?
Should clean them week after week.
No.
Okay.
That's fine. But it was like out in the world. Whatever, I'll clean them with like good wipes at home.
Can we just like, get Velcro for these?
Actually, no, because then we'd have to like have a good recording table.
Yeah, we'd have to like put the Velcro on the table and make sure no one else
picks
it up.
Someone already like exposed me for not going to this school anymore, so I don't think we should deface their tables.
Yeah, probably
it's
not.
Just Velcro.
Wait, no, they got rid of the plant.
Well, no, we got rid of the plant because it was dying.
It was dying? It was a real plant?
Yeah, it was a real plant. Believe it or not, it was a real plant.
I think I actually did notice that because I saw it in the back of Greg's D&D video. I'm like, oh, that's a nice looking plant. And then I saw it in the room and I'm like, that's not a nice looking plant.
Yeah.
Wait, so
one of the stalks was entirely brown.
Wait, so why? How is it alive downstairs?
Someone waters it. How else do you keep plants
alive? I was thinking like sunlight or something. And
no,
then I'm like, huh.
No, those don't need. Those are like shade plants.
Okay.
They're fine.
Okay.
But they do need water. So, yes. What have you guys been playing this week?
Because I haven't been on like a regular podcast before Christmas break.
Since the last time you were on a podcast, so I think that's for you last week.
Yeah, it was last week.
But you got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Actually,
what have you guys been playing? I can start.
Okay.
Actually, we'll start with you because you haven't been playing the one thing that the three of us have been playing, which is Monster Hunter World.
I haven't been playing anything.
Oh,
I was playing Zelda, but I took a break because I'm still a student.
Okay. So Sydney's been playing the game of life.
Yep.
College nice. Edition.
The game of trying to get more than 2 hours of sleep a night.
I
dislike that game.
I don't have, like, real obligations on Sunday to Tuesday.
That
so,
must be nice.
Yeah. This is my only one, actually. Adam.
Hi! I've played about, like, 30 different games because last time I was on was before Christmas break.
Yeah.
Like a real one because I was on the 2017 one, but I wasn't on, like, the actual one.
Right. Yeah.
I'll go through some of these quickly. I know one of them you probably won't want to go through quickly, but I played this little puzzle game called Goragora.
Yeah.
And it is like this is a hard game to describe, so bear with me here. There are four pictures in a square.
Yeah.
And
I'm keeping count.
Yeah, keeping count. And how it works is they're all different environments, and you drag out the layers of each of the environments, and you try to rearrange them to make them something else.
Okay.
So like, again, this would be explained in 2 seconds with a GIF, but it'll probably take me 70 hours to describe with words.
We don't have 70 hours.
Well, we'll make them.
No,
the game's like 4 hours. Okay. But,
yeah, so but you have a visual guide
in
the game.
So basically things, it's all a bunch of perspective tricks.
Yeah. Oh!
And you make it so you're just this dude, and you got to get to the end. You're going on this
okay.
like weird.
So you have to
spiritual
shift
adventure.
Shift the perspective with these four layers.
Yes, you have to shift this perspective to make it so it makes sense with the core. So there's always one that is like there.
Yeah.
And then once you figure out and manipulate the room, because you can like zoom in different parts of the room.
Yeah.
And like rearrange stuff sometimes. So basically, you have to manipulate it so there is a way for that person for the next panel to happen.
Okay.
And it's really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Would
you recommend it?
Totally. Cool. It was it's a cheap little thing. I'd totally recommend it.
Okay.
It was published by Annapurna, and I know they're on the up and up lately.
Yeah, they've been
publishing a lot of shit.
Did they publish Tacoma?
No.
That was an indie thing, right?
It was Fulbright. Yeah, I think that was self published.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Anyway. Continue on with your list.
I played a game called Butterfly Soup, which is a
delicious,
which is a visual novel about some gay girls who play baseball.
I love it,
and it was really fucking good. So I've been playing a lot of good games.
Yeah.
I'm not too big in the whole visual novel thing, so I don't know what makes a visual novel good versus bad. I like Ace Attorney.
Literally,
I hate Dream Daddy.
Good writing.
Yeah. So, and this one's got some.
I've played through Dream Daddy a couple times. Yeah. It has like the okayest writing I've ever seen in just a thing.
Yeah.
So.
This one is really it just follows this group of girls. They meet somewhere or another. Some of them through baseball. Some of them just through life.
Okay.
And it just talks about their friendship, relationships, whatever. And
it's cute.
I super dig it. It's free.
All right.
It's a free visual novel not on Steam.
Okay.
On Itch?
Itch.
I think it was on Itch. Highly recommend as well.
Okay.
It was short, it was probably 5-6 hours.
That's not bad.
It's a neat little story.
All right.
And then I played Yakuza 0 pretty much from chapter 3 to the end.
The good boys.
The good boys.
The good boys. The one justice boy and the trash boy.
Yeah.
And my actual daughter, whom I love and will kill anyone if they try and fuck with her ever again.
In fact, you do that.
Yeah,
in
you
fact,
do.
You do. I
have a lot of feelings about Yakuza 0, so I've already said my piece.
Yeah.
Like the entirety of last year.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That I really fucking love Yakuza 0, but I do not like playing Yakuza 0.
Yeah.
I like running from cutscene to cutscene in Yakuza 0 because that game, it does this thing with tone that it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like the way this game handles its tone is incredible.
Yes.
And the way this game handles silence and conversations and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
It's so fun. This game can create tension out of nothing.
Yeah.
And it does for the entire game.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit, but like once this thing gets, because it took me like a full year to play, because it came out last March.
Yeah.
I got it like launch week.
Yeah, because you have the business card holder edition.
Yeah, and
find
that
fucking business card holder. I need it anyway.
And it took me a long time to like slug through the first 4 to 5 chapters, and then I went back to it.
Yeah.
And it picked up, and it just fucking kept going.
Yeah, it ramps.
Once that game,
I think chapter 6 onward.
Yeah,
it just kind of.
Yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, once this stuff happens with, like...
Kiryu and Nishiki.
Yeah, the Kiryu and Nishiki stuff happens, and you're like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
And it fucking goes, and it goes so hard that I just stopped doing all the sub-stories at a certain point, where I'm just like, I just want to go.
That was, like, chapter 10-ish for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to see this resolution. I want to see...
Thank you, Sydney, for getting me a business card for a business I own.
No,
that's just a business card.
Oh, the life
this
pass.
Is the holder.
No, that's your wallet.
We don't have a bad-looking business card, actually.
Yeah.
It looks pretty nice. We definitely need to update it, but it looks nice.
That's what I did my bit.
Anyway, yeah.
No, that game's narrative is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And, what it does with some of the characters are really
good. I wish you had
played
it before Game of the Year 2017.
I would have. Yeah, I definitely would have.
I could have had some help championing that one.
You probably would have.
Yeah.
But man, there are some later parts of that game that I fucking hate. That game is not very fun to play.
I thought it was fun to play, but.
Yeah.
I love that game to death.
I'll explain a scenario for you guys because you haven't played 3 Yakuza. So there's this one scenario towards the end of the game. So guns are really fucking obnoxious in this game. Guns work how guns are supposed to work in Yakuza.
Yeah,
they are not video game guns. Like, you get shot and you fall to the ground and you're like wailing for a few seconds.
Yes.
And then you get back up, and so guns are really fucking annoying. And there's this one room in particular towards the end of the game where you're Majima, and you're fighting through the house.
Yeah.
And there's this big circular room. And there just happens to be people with guns in every corner of this big circular room.
Yeah.
So you get a
circle. It has no corners.
It has no corners.
Yeah,
so
they're like four. Oh, wait, no,
it's around the whole diameter.
Yeah. What? So there's
no
four people.
No circle has corners.
Yeah, no circle has corners. But yeah, they're like
there's four people.
Four to six people in this one room.
And they're all very far away from each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my phone is blowing up. I'm glad I muted it before it started dinging. Oh.
Oh, boy.
So how it works is you enter that room and there are a bunch of people on the outskirts of the circle.
Yeah.
And one of them will shoot you.
Yeah.
And then you get up and then a different one will shoot you.
Yeah.
And then you get up and another one will shoot you all while you're trying to get to one person.
Yeah. The good thing is they have health bars that are like the tiniest
in
the game.
They have
like
no fucking health.
Like the balancing on how little these guys have a health pool of.
Yeah. How quickly they die is really balanced. Yeah, yeah. Like, if they had regular health bars, it would be the worst game ever made.
Yeah, like, gameplay-wise.
Yeah, luckily they go down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But no, I super love that game.
Yeah.
Even for all of its, like, terrible fighting sequences.
Are you going to pick up Yakuza 6?
No, I'll probably, like...
You can borrow it when I'm done.
It's not the fact that, like, I don't want to pick it up. It's just I feel like I'd be missing a whole lot.
Okay, they have a comic series that fills in from, I think, Kiwami 2 to 5. So if you don't want to play the games, you can read it, and it'll be the same thing.
Okay.
I might do that, because I don't think I have the energy in me to play through 4 Yakuza games.
I don't either. Yeah. And like, I've been told that Zero is the best by, like, a large margin.
Yeah.
So I don't think...
Bye, Tiffany.
Bye.
Bye, Tiffany.
We're losing our live studio audience.
Where was I? I think I was saying... I don't want to play... Like, I don't want to play through... Yakuza. Yeah. I want to play through the good Yakuza, and I think I already did that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't think I.
I've heard differing things about 6, about how.
Wait, is 6 out in Japan already?
It might be.
Okay.
I'm not sure. No, I've heard some different things about 6 where there are some quality of life improvements, but a lot of the systems they've, like, broken off into other systems, so it's a lot more, like, granular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty split. If people like it or not, but I have that sick Song of Life edition.
Oh, nice.
So I really wanted those bar glasses. Holy shit.
It is it's also the first one on their new engine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think not the Kiwami. No, yeah. The Kiwami 2 remake was made using Yakuza 6's engine.
Okay, because that never came out here.
Yeah, it hasn't yet. Yeah. I think they're going to localize it. Like, I think if they keep remaking the Yakuza games, they're going to localize them over here.
I wonder if they're going to use the new engine for the Fist of the North Star game, or if they're going to make
an
entirely new one.
I think they're making an entirely new engine, because I've seen combat stuff that's happened in Fist of the North Star and, like, costume changes in combat that has happened in Fist of the North Star versus not in Yakuza 6.
Okay.
So, yeah, I really have my finger to the pulse on whatever news comes out for the... From that team.
Yeah.
For the most part, if it's Yakuza or Fist of the North Star.
I can't fucking wait for that Fist of the North
Star. It's
going to
be great.
They're, like, the entire dev team is, like, huge fans of the manga.
I'm probably, like, importing it.
It's probably coming out in the West.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Do you think I'd turn down the chance to a fight as a buff manly man? No.
No.
I want to do it as soon as possible. Do you have anything else on your list, Adam?
There's one, like, quick thing. I don't have a lot to say about it, but there's this game that came out a couple weeks ago called Celeste. Not Celeste.
No.
I have to talk. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
This game called Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
It is this PvE card game. Basically like the Hearthstone Dungeon Run. I don't know if any of you have played that.
Yeah, no.
But basically you start out with a couple cards in your deck, and it's a roguelike. So you will do a fight. And then you'll get to add, like, different things to your deck. You'll get to upgrade them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And yes.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Then the final thing is Celeste.
Yeah.
Which is the Towerfall people's new platformer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's from the Towerfall team?
Yeah, it's from the Towerfall team.
Yeah.
And you can tell just by looking at it. This game's really fucking good. Celeste is... I've had a lot of trouble deciding which of the three games to play this weekend, because all of them came out on Friday.
Yeah.
But I spent some time with Celeste, and that game's fucking tight. That game's got some really, like, nice and easy flowing platforming sections, and it also has some, like, fucking hard nitty gritty really tight ones.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good at all. It, like...
That's the good shit.
Yeah.
Hard platforming is, like, the best.
It's so fucking good. And
I've heard that they have an assist mode, too.
They do.
So if you don't like difficult platformers and you just want to play it for the story, you can play it.
Yeah, you can do that, too.
Which I super appreciate. Yeah.
But how they separate them is there's the main story, and then there's these things called the B-sides. And you collect, like, a cassette in each level, and then it will open up this section of just really hard levels.
Ooh.
And they're all really fucking... Like, I played the one for Chapter 2 so far, or, like, some of it, and they were really fucking tight and fun. And
okay. We can actually come back to this later, because I have a question that ties into that.
Okay. And then the three other games you guys will talk about.
Three?
Two.
Two. Okay.
I lied.
Tell me, Dan and I'm not giving you a what did you play this week, because I'm going to introduce it for you.
Okay.
Because I've played one of the two. What do you guys think about Dragon Ball FighterZ, Dan and Adam?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, totally. I think this game is really, I think this game really fucking nails it on every front they're trying to fucking go for. Like, this game controls like a fucking dream.
Mm-hmm.
It has like all of the Dragon Ball sound effects and stuff like that you'd really want, and it makes it really... It fits super well in a fighting game.
Visually, looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I've not played it. Cannot vouch for the quality of fight game. Can vouch for the prettiness of fight game.
Yeah. I mean, it's done by the Guilty Gear animation team.
Yeah. Which I love.
It's like super obvious.
Yeah.
It's like a funny story about that, actually, is this game kind of went full circle with that, because back in Resurrection F, a movie came out a couple of years ago about Frieza coming back. There was like scenes of CG in Resurrection F, and they were asked in an interview later, you know, we saw some really good CG in there. Why did you decide to do that? And the people who made the movie said, well, we were really inspired by the animation in Guilty Gear, and that's what we based our CG off
And
of.
So they got the Guilty Gear team to do the animations for the scene. That's cool. That's wholesome. Yeah. Love that. Tell me about the gameplay.
It plays like a dream. I have
been meaning to get into it, or fighting games in general. This is probably going to be the one. It's because it looks good.
It's really, really good. Like, even if you're not a fan of Dragon Ball, it's, like, super fun to play.
Not a big fan of Dragon Ball.
I used to be when I was six, and I didn't know what was going on.
And
so,
man, I...
But, like, there's... They do the Guilty Gear thing where, like, every character has, like, built-in, like, universal mechanics that everyone can use that really helps them thrive in situations where they normally wouldn't be able to. Like, everyone's throw is the exact same.
Okay.
Everyone has a super dash, which is a really good combo extender and pursuit tool. Everyone can teleport behind people for a cross-up. It's so good.
And I've also heard that people are coming out with, like, so much tech for each character, just
because
it's a massive
fighting
game.
It's a 3v3 fighting game.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we don't have any good ones of those right now.
Yeah.
So this being the first really, really good one is a big
in like
step.
A long ass time.
Yeah. Like the last time we had like a really, really outstanding 3v3 fighting game was like Marvel 3.
Yeah. Mm. Totally.
And it's just, it's really good.
It's so,
and
it's so
super,
good.
Super like true to the spirit of Dragon Ball in like every way, shape and form.
Yeah.
There are so many throwbacks and so many like just cool tidbits. There are these breakdowns on YouTube showing like specific character animations for normals and combo strings and specials and stuff.
Yeah.
And showing like a side by side comparison to literal like screen caps from the manga of the exact same poses.
Nice.
Like to the point where like Android 16's medium kick is a pose he did in a frame in the manga. Like, it's super, super detailed.
No, it's, you can tell the people making this game really like Dragon Ball, and they wanted to keep it as, like, close
as
to the source
form.
Material
yeah.
and, like, fan servicey as they possibly could.
This is, like, probably the best Dragon Ball game we've ever gotten, honestly.
Is there even, like, a competition?
Its only competition is, like, Budokai 3.
Yeah.
Which was on the PS2.
Yeah. I mean, this game's fucking...
It's so fantastic.
It's incredible.
And the combo structure is really simple. Mm-hmm. The execution barrier is not that high. Mm-hmm. It's really, really great.
Yeah. I think it has potential to be the next big fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, just in sheer amounts of players, how many people are just, like, talking about it in general.
Yeah.
Did you see the Steam user results?
Yes. What was it, like 45,000?
43,000.
43,000?
All-time max users in Dragon Ball FighterZ.
That's great.
For reference, Street Fighter V has about 16,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Like,
and like Tekken was like a little higher than that, right? I think Tekken was like 19.
A little higher, a little lower, something like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then like Marvel versus Capcom Infinite had like 3,000.
Yeah.
With a total of like, I think the player peak for the day it was screen capped was 76 concurrent players.
Yeah.
I love seeing shit like that.
Yeah, no one.
It's great.
Everyone dropped. Everybody who was playing Marvel dropped it for Dragon Ball because it's just the better game.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing.
Like, and, it's so tight. I love it.
It's,
I think.
We could probably go into more detail about it next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Give it time. Because, like, people are still learning a ton about the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that eventually, like, once gameplay gets on, like, a super, super high level with Dragon Ball FighterZ, is the actual, like, fights you see in, like, top 8 and top 16 are going to actually look like Dragon Ball fights.
Nice.
Yeah. It's
good.
Like, there was a... The day before the game came out at Super Saiyan Showdown, Sean Schemmel and Chris Sabat had a first to five in Dragon Ball FighterZ, and they're the voices of Goku and Vegeta. And Sean Schemmel literally said after the match, "I played this game and felt like I was at work."
Oh, that's so cool! Like, fuck. Okay. So yeah, and then the three of us played. I'm sorry, Sydney.
It's okay, I don't want a PS4.
The three of us played Monster Hunter World for a little bit. So what are your first impressions?
I can't speak much about it.
I love it.
I love it, too.
It's so fucking
good. Before we give it a lot of praise, because I don't want this to overshadow my opinion of the game on this podcast, I tried to make myself in the character creation.
Yes.
And I had a picture of myself on one one screen.
And the character creator on another? Creator
on the other. So I was like, okay, I want it to be very accurate. And what came out was like myself, but in the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, because it's all presets.
I thought it was going to be way more granular. Like you could customize the nose size.
It's not super in-depth, like say Soul Calibur creation or anything like that. But it's like,
I got the hair in like the basic-ish face shape. So it's like,
all the hair is fucking terrible.
It's bad.
Like, it's really bad. Like, it's always been bad in, like, every Monster Hunter game.
You're wearing a helmet anyway.
Yeah. But you can turn it off, actually.
You can turn off
the helmet appearing, but still have it count as equipped.
Still going to wear a helmet.
Yeah. The helmets are cool. But, like, the hair has always been terrible.
Yeah.
And I was super disappointed that the pompadour is not, like, a stupid anime pompadour anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, in Monster Hunter 4 and Generations, it was, like 3 feet out of your head.
Oh, my God. Beautiful. I love a good pompadour.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, it's still the best creator in Monster Hunter by far.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
For reference, I will say on this podcast so that it's on the record, I did make Eugene my Palico. I made it look like him.
I just made a little angry cat.
Did you get the Toby Kadachi armor for the Palico yet?
Which one?
Toby Kadachi.
I want to get the Horizon Zero Dawn Watcher armor, because it's apparently one of the best Palico armors in the game.
I picked the Toby... The Toby Kadachi, because it's a little snowsuit and it's really cute.
Oh my God.
It's really cute.
I love the Watchers in Horizon Zero Dawn, so I think I'm going to stick with that. But I have the like bone helmet on him right now.
Yeah. Bone set is pretty solid for a Palico, especially early game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just using the bone one because it looks cool.
It looks fucking with the feathers. It's great.
I actually have a question about the armor. Are there like if you use the whole set, is there like a bonus for that?
There's a slight bonus.
Okay, because I had a feeling, because I'm like, I want to mix and match a bunch of these things. I'm like, but if I use the same one, there's probably something different.
There's a small bonus, but generally speaking, you don't have to use a specific set. Okay. Like I'm mixed and matched right now because there are a bunch of different pieces of armor. Yeah. And like they really made it a point in this one to make, because like in prior Monster Hunter games, a lot of the mixing and matching was just kind of discouraged because the full sets were just that much better. But in this one, it's a lot more balanced.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
I kind of like how it controls.
It's
like I'm pretty set in the weapon I have. I'm using the insect glaive. It's a lot of fun.
The insect glaive is really fun. The ability to just get jumping attacks whenever you want is like so good.
Yeah. I need to go to the training room. I need to figure out how and like practice my combos.
Yeah.
And that's like, this is like the first game I want to do that in, which is wild for me. But I like it a lot.
It's really fun, and its presentation is so good.
Yes. Like I did not like how much like fanfare there was around the tutorial levels.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. It was done in 40 minutes.
Yeah. I finished it in like 25 minutes because I just ignored it entirely and just kept walking forward. And apparently you don't have to wait for the people to pass you to skip.
Nope.
So
I was also doing other stuff, and you can't skip the cutscenes.
Yeah.
But whatever. But
most of the cutscenes look cool as shit, so.
Yeah. This game is gorgeous. It's like, I was playing it on my computer.
Yeah. In 360p.
In 360p with PS4 Link, and it still looked fantastic. I could see everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was great.
They made so many good improvements. Like speaking as someone who has been playing Monster Hunter since 3 Ultimate.
Yeah.
So I've been...
Around the block.
Yeah, I've been around the block. I've been playing this game since, like, 2013.
Yeah.
And, like... Everything is so much better. They have made so many quality of life improvements. Infinite whetstones to sharpen your weapon.
Oh, God, yeah.
Monster manuals inside the fucking game, which really should have been there since 3 Ultimate.
Yeah. A lot of quality of life stuff.
Like, you can now roll out of every animation.
Yes.
You can, like, you can move while healing.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, everything about it. All the weapons seem super viable. I'm using 5 weapons right now. Like,
fucking nice.
It's so good, and it's so satisfying. This is the first one I think that shooter weapons are, like, actually fun to use.
Yeah.
And, oh, it is actually everything I've ever wanted in a Monster Hunter game. I was, a couple months ago,
yeah.
I started, for the hype for Monster Hunter World, I started writing a How to Improve Monster Hunter article.
Yeah.
And I never finished it, but all of my footnotes on what they could improve, they improved on in Monster Hunter World.
Nice.
So, like, I'm really, really happy with this game. And, oh, my God. It's going to be really, really hard to outdo it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Let's see. I have 2 news stories, because you talked about Celeste already.
Yes.
We talked about the Overwatch League last week, and another player has been fined for unsportsmanlike conduct.
I was actually going to ask that question earlier.
Yeah, we talked about XQC last week.
Okay.
Insulting an openly gay player on an opposing team.
Yeah, he told him to suck a big fat cock.
Yeah.
Is what.
Yeah, I didn't use the phrasing in the last episode, but, you know, it's fine.
In case you want to know, that's what he said.
Yeah. It was on his personal live stream.
Yeah.
He's been suspended and fined.
Yeah. He was suspended by Blizzard for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then his team said, no, fuck you. We're suspending you for longer.
Okay.
Oh,
good. Yeah. Good on the team.
Yeah. So they're like, no, that's not enough. We're gonna suspend you for a little longer.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And then this week, Prophet of London Spitfire flipped off the camera in front of him during a live match.
He did.
And will be fined $1,000. His excuse was he thought the camera was off. It was not. And it was during, like, I think a legit match.
Nice. Yeah, it was during a legit match.
Yeah.
This was, like, a super big week for the Overwatch League because all the big teams lost.
Yeah.
Korea lost, Spitfire lost, New York lost.
Yeah.
All the Korean teams have been proven human and have lost games to much smaller teams. It was, I super dig what they're doing.
Yeah.
With the Overwatch League.
I think
it's
so,
like,
too.
It's like...
It's cool to have, like, a sports league.
Yeah.
For right? gamers.
Right? For us cool gamers.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's just cool seeing organized esports. Usually, the esports I follow are ones that have, like, 5 people who like them.
Yeah.
Or, like, have a lot of people like them, like Smash Brothers, and no support for it.
Yeah.
So right. it goes either way for me.
Yeah, speaking of sports and games and shit, Evo Japan was this weekend.
Actually. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
And it was really, really hype.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Daigo was playing out of his mind in Street Fighter for the first time since Street Fighter V fucking came out.
And, like, about time, right?
Yeah, about time. And, like, Infiltration won it, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
And then the other news story I have is God of War has a release date for April 20th.
Yep.
April fucking blaze it.
It's a big day for games.
Yeah.
So we got Labo. We got God of War.
Yeah.
And I think there was a third thing.
There might be.
Family-friendly content all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go raise a child with Kratos, or you can raise your own children and build, like,
with boxes.
With boxes. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that's all I have for news. You want me to hit you with a fun fact?
Sure.
Adam, forget we talked about this one because it's in that garbled episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep. Today we're talking about it's an architectural term for mental institutions from the 1800s called the Kirkbride Plan. It was named after Thomas Story Kirkbride. And he thought that instead of confining mentally ill patients to isolation, we should give them windows and fresh air and, you know, maybe let them go outside. So he was kind of ahead of his time.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Dorothea Dix actually proposed that we should try and treat mentally ill patients instead of just kind of letting them rot. And this paved the way for Kirkbride to design his plan. And it was based in environmental determinism. Oh, my source for this is Wikipedia, by the way. He thought that if the surroundings of the patients were pleasant, they'd be more inclined to change their mental state towards recovery, which is pretty legit. The floor plan for it feels like I'm repeating this because I am. And
you are, in fact, repeating
it. Yeah, because I have notes.
Oh, okay. That probably.
So it had a bat-like structure, and the defining feature was narrow stepped and linear blueprints. Each wing had, there were 8 wings, 8 staggered, I think. No, 4 staggered on each end, I think. And then he would put the most like violent mentally ill patients at the ends, work your way into like the most stable towards recovery. The suggestion for patient quarters was to have a lot of room and 12-foot ceilings. Each ward would be comfortably furnished with a parlor, a bathroom, a clothes room, and infirmary, as well as speaking tubes and dumbwaiters so that the staff could easily communicate with one another. And then he also suggested that the hospitals be built on large acres of land, like 100 plus, so that the patients could go out and like work the land and stuff and kind of have an outlet for energy and exercise. And then one of the main reasons that the plan was phased out was because it became too hard to maintain. Kirkbride was one of the only designers of mental facilities who insisted that their staff be paid a livable wage or even more. Nerve. Yeah. Or even more due to the fact that their jobs were, quote, particularly trying to the mental and physical powers of any individual. In addition to compensating his staff, he insisted that there be an equal gender balance in hiring employees. With most hospitals having a staff of 71, 36 female and 35 male to split between the wings. And then during the late 19th century, before it was phased out in favor of more awful shit, many in the medical community questioned its effectiveness at treating mental illness.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's a shame he was wrong.
I know. I know.
I definitely read about Dorothea Dix somewhere.
Yeah. I think she was a mental health activist.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a cool dude. I still need my phone for notes, actually.
Bring it back.
But yeah, we did do that one in a previous episode and it got garbled.
It's okay, it happens.
It happens. Did you forget most of it or did you remember? It's okay.
I remembered.
Fuck. Well, now I can think of a new fun fact instead of just having that be there. Okay, so into announcements. We are making a couple more changes to our streaming schedule. And then after that, it should be final.
Yeah.
Speaking of streaming, mm-hmm. Adam, Dan, and I are going to stream some Monster Hunter later tonight. Yeah.
Tonight or
tonight
tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Oh yeah,
tonight as it's Tuesday.
Because this comes out on Tuesday.
I was like, wait,
yeah, tonight.
yeah, tonight indeed.
Tonight indeed.
We'll see you there.
Tonight, I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be. You just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, you can hang out on Discord.
I need to do homework.
Our Monster Hunter World giveaway, which we're running until actually Wednesday. It ends Wednesday.
Quick,
get it. But yeah, we'll be giving away a copy of that. February's first giveaway is Pat's Choice, and he picked L.A. Noire.
Cool, like the HD version?
I think so, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I haven't checked what the code he gave me for was for, because I need to redeem it in order to check. But
when he bought it, he said it was expensive, so I figure it wasn't Pat, the only one.
Pat, I expected you to buy like a $5 game. That's okay. Anyway, but...
He said he didn't want to give away WoW.
Yeah! I was like, yeah, that's a good call.
You're giving away 1 month. Wow.
Oh, man. I mean, hey, someone would have.
Pat would have won it.
We can't win our own giveaways. Yeah,
no, Nugget would win it.
Nugget would win it.
And then give it to Pat.
I don't think Nugget enters.
No.
Julia would.
Yeah. Julia would be all over it. And then, yeah. That's all I have until next week, where we have a very exciting announcement about a new podcast we're starting up.
Yeah.
And before we get into questions, if you have questions you'd like to ask, DM us on Twitter. Our DMs are open now. I didn't realize they weren't before. Or email questions@thelifecast.net. So now, a question. We have one, and it's from Dave at my request.
Hi, Dave.
Nice. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a good sport.
Love that boy. And he says, what are everyone's opinions on difficulty options, about difficulty options in games?
Huh. I guess it would have to depend on the game.
Okay.
But I generally like it when games don't have difficulty options.
Okay.
And they're just an experience.
Okay.
It's just like, this is how it was meant to be played. Play it like this.
Okay. Because the example he gave was... Dark Souls is obviously meant to be that cyclical. It has a cyclical theme.
Yes.
So it's okay if you go through the cycle of at the same difficulty. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You know, it's backed up by the background of the game. Mm-hmm. But for things like Nier, he's been playing through it, and he did say that going through on easy mode was kind of a mask for how bad the gameplay of that game was.
Okay.
So in both of those, he was okay with not having difficulty options and also having a lot of difficulty options.
Yeah, totally. Like, I get
and
that.
I think I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think Dark Souls shouldn't have those difficulty options.
No, that like that.
I mean,
like,
there are ways that game devs like cheat it towards in favor of the player.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most common example I've seen is that the last bullet in a clip of ammo will do mm-hmm. like 20% more damage or something.
In
just shooters in general. Okay. I think Waypoint did an article about it, or some outlet did an article about it, how they interviewed game devs and they were like, well, this is how we skew it towards the player, because if we didn't, it would be too hard.
Huh.
So there are a lot of little ways that game devs cheat it that way.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'll probably link it on the Lifecast Twitter next time I'm up for it.
Okay.
But yeah. So there's that, mm-hmm. which is whatever. And then we talked about Dark Souls, and we talked about things like... We actually did talk about Celeste, because it has an assist mode.
Yeah.
And it has this difficult... These difficult platformings.
Yeah, like...
these difficult levels.
It's got some hard shit.
And I have heard that it has loading screens that say, you don't have to get the collectibles in this game.
Yeah.
Or it's okay to enable these difficulty.
Yeah.
Options.
It does.
And I think that's a good approach.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know if you can do the assist mode on, like, the B-side levels or stuff like that. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I mean, if the B-side levels are specifically meant to be challenges.
Yeah, they're challenge levels.
Yeah, like, that would make sense.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I like that the option is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sydney, Dan.
I think it's just, like, more so something that should be at the discretion of the developer.
Yeah.
Because, like, a thing with, like, say, difficulty sliders and stuff is what a lot of devs do is they make a game at a specific difficulty, and then they're like, oh, give it different difficulties, and then you get, like, difficulties that aren't the one they designed it for being really half-assed.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you have more health.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigger numbers or lower numbers.
Yeah, bigger numbers or lower numbers. And it ends up just really, like, taking away from the experience of the game.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely something that should just be at the discretion of the devs. Like everything in the games industry, yeah. Let devs just make the games they want to make.
Yeah.
And you'll get better products.
Yeah. Sydney?
I'm not a fan of hard games.
Okay.
I like enjoying games. So, like, I'm kind of for difficulty, like, levelers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the games that come to mind are Bioshock, which I deliberately played on easy mode because I'm like, I don't want to just be stressed out shooting things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like there are some games that can benefit from it, especially ones that have a lot of replay value, where, like, you have a base level game, but then you can unlock a harder mode.
Yeah, to challenge yourself or whatever. Yeah.
I definitely am more for that, as opposed to, like, here's the game, you don't know anything about it, pick a difficulty.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like for a lot of games, like, what are these fucking weird, stupid words you picked even mean for difficulty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, the translation error of that Fire Emblem game.
What was it?
Dan, can you explain it better than I can?
Please.
Because I don't remember which game it was.
What was it? It was for the hardest difficulty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They switched normal and easy.
Yeah, that's right. I forget which one it was. But someone really fucked up with translating a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
And they named hard mode, easy mode, and easy mode, hard mode by mistake.
Oh my god.
Or something like that.
I think it was like they made normal hard and
wait, no,
and
yeah, because it was Path of Radiance.
Yes.
It was Path of Radiance, the most iconic one before Fates. Like, yeah, so.
Awakening whom?
Awakening, yeah. But, yeah, so normal was like hard, and hard was extra hard, or something like that.
Oh god.
It was.
I would die.
But then normal was easy.
Yeah.
And so people were playing on normal, but indirectly playing on hard.
Okay.
It was a really bad translation. It was the only part of the game that was like that, too.
Shut up, HQ.
Like, I enjoy when games are, like, they're hard because of resource management. Yeah. I feel like that can be fun, but it's just like a person normally has 100 health. In hard mode, they have 400 health. Like, yeah. No, don't do that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's like just really half-assed.
Yeah.
If you want like a game with high difficulty, you have to design the game around the fact that the game is hard.
Yeah.
You
know? So let's get into the second part of this question since we're kind of already there. Do you think games should have more difficulty modes to accommodate a wider audience, or should they ideally work to improve the systems they have in the game to make them more enjoyable and engaging?
I mean, obviously the second one.
Yeah.
But like, man,
I don't feel like a dev should feel obligated to put in difficulty sliders.
No.
I don't think so either.
Absolutely not.
That being said, I would not have enjoyed Yakuza nearly as much if I had to play that game on fucking normal.
Yeah.
Because like at a certain point, I was like, I'm not having fun with this combat. I'm just going to drop it down to easy and just steamroll it.
Yep.
And so I think on that note, like, I was having fun with that combat. And I don't know. I wouldn't have liked that game as much if I had to keep it on a harder difficulty.
Yeah.
Just because I wasn't enjoying it. So I guess it could go both ways.
Yeah. It just depends on the game.
Yeah.
I feel like in that case it is kind of to mask a gameplay faux pas. Mm-hmm. To like for Nier it was the auto chips.
Yeah.
That you could just kind of steamroll combat and not have to worry about frame perfect dodges.
Yeah.
And in Yakuza you couldn't worry about getting shot like a couple times.
You could like you'd be stay fine. On your feet for a little longer.
Yeah.
I think actually a game that does this whole difficulty thing very, very well is Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Because Monster Hunter, there is no leveling up in Monster Hunter. You can get like better weapons and better armor sets and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the improvement in the game is the game setting the expectation that you are going to improve as a player and making itself more difficult to encourage that improvement.
Yeah. It's more about reading your enemy.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. That's also how Bloodborne does it also.
That's the one I've been playing.
That's just what my experience is.
Motto.
Right.
Games that encourage self-improvement are much better on a difficulty rating.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, just absolutely.
Totally.
And there's just some games that like aren't going to attract you. Like, I don't like hard games, so I'm not going to play Dark Souls. And I wouldn't play Dark Souls if there was an easy mode.
Yeah, because that kind of takes
like
away
would
the
just roast me for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
who the fuck? I mean, maybe on the Switch version they'll have a baby mode, but like, for all the kids playing it. But like, yeah.
Does it just turn everybody into Labo monsters?
Oh yes. Man,
it needs to now. Yeah. Okay, if they have Easter eggs like that, also, I'm really okay with just like an easy mode. But if it's a difficult game with a story, it's like the one that comes to mind is Fury.
Yeah,
it has.
If a story is like a big part of your game, then a difficulty slider is a really good idea.
Yeah. It does have a difficulty like toggle, and a lot of that story is boss combat and dialogue.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated the fact that it had an easier setting. Even though it was kind of easy for me, I would have appreciated something in between.
Yeah.
So
It all depends. I think it all ultimately boils down to how mechanics every your game is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
like, say, like, what if a game like fucking Hotline Miami or Spelunky had an easy mode? That would make it those games not fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, it really just depends on how mechanics every your game is, I think.
Yeah. Let me find one more question, because we have some time.
Ooh.
I'm on a list of icebreaker ideas.
This sounds like a train wreck.
Yeah, it does.
Introduce
yourselves.
What was the first food you ever had?
What? What was an item you lost most recently? And did you find it?
Yes, actually.
Hey,
so I lost. Okay, so I pre-ordered Monster Hunter World, so I got the DLC outfit, but I lost my receipt, and I found it today, so I have the code again.
Oh, okay, great.
Nice.
What
the fuck have I lost?
Oh, I lost the screwdriver that I always keep in my backpack that I was supposed to use to fix these microphone stands, but I know exactly where it is.
I lost my screwdriver thing too. I had like a whole set specifically like for GameCube controllers to like mother and stuff like that.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I lost the one head that fits the GameCube controller.
That's the worst.
Yeah, I have no idea where it is. Fucking gone.
Disappear. Yeah. I've had 5 different tri-wing screwdrivers.
What does that mean?
They have 3 instead of 4. a Phillips head has like it's a cross.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then there's a flat head, which is just just a line. The line. And Nintendo, for some fucking reason, it's three.
I've never seen that, but I also never really intently look at screws.
Yeah.
No. But that's the most recent thing I lost because I figured that out yesterday. And I was cleaning a bunch of shit and I'm like, wait, this is just gone. Fuck, okay.
Yeah. Sydney.
I lost a lot of sleep and then slept in this weekend.
I'm glad you found it.
Let's see. Best 25 plus random questions ideas on Pinterest. Don't let me down.
Nice. Look at all the stay at home moms.
I fucking love and hate Pinterest.
What's the favorite? What's your favorite food that you found at Whole Foods today? Why do you hate your husband?
Oh, nope.
All stay-at-home mom things.
Stay-at-home mom things. Helpful phrases for saying no.
Just have that Sonic video.
It's a beautiful day to leave me alone. 100 funny and random questions to ask your husband.
All right, let's go for it.
Let's go for it.
Let's see how many of these are, like, bitingly personal.
Quirky bohemian mama. Oh no.
This is exactly what I thought it would be.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? I ate a scorpion lollipop once.
I guess chicken feet.
Nice.
It tastes like kielbasa.
Oh, that's delicious, actually.
Kielbasa's
pretty
good.
I fucking love kielbasa.
Yeah. Like it literally tastes exactly like kielbasa.
It's like a little greasy, but I like
it.
It's very, very chewy. Like kind of gummy.
I don't know. You had me.
You
kind of lost me.
Are you a texture eater also?
I think so.
Yeah. There's one link on the side of this blog that just says how to save big money.
Do it. I want to know.
The one under it is quirky date night ideas.
Can we just like
the one under that is crazy ways to make money.
We'll do that one. We'd be losing money not clicking on that link.
The first article under this is The Ultimate Guide to Having a Cheap and Beautiful Bohemian Wedding Part 2.
Part 2.
The one under that is The Ultimate Guide to Having a Cheap and Beautiful Bohemian Wedding Part 1.
Is Part 1 in caps? Okay.
God, I love this. I love this segment.
I love stay-at-home moms.
It's such a culture.
It's such a culture, and I don't want to know anything about it. But like,
I know way too fucking much.
But I can respect their grind.
The grind don't stop. Snort flex emoji. 100. God, sweat. Yeah. Do you believe in Bigfoot? Only if Bigfoot believes in me.
Sure. Why the hell not?
What about Mothman? Do you believe in Mothman?
Sure.
Okay. I'm gauging audience retention for encrypted, actually.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever been drunk in public? Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Describe your own personal hell. Pickle eating ASMR. Why would you fucking ask your husband these?
I said because maybe they're in a rough patch and she just wants to make his life a living hell. Next.
Do you think all dogs go to heaven? I think dogs are the only thing in heaven.
Yeah, it's just like all fucking dogs. They're perfect beings and nothing else is.
Have you thrown up in a car?
Yes. I've thrown up fucking everywhere.
I threw up in a market basket once when I was 12.
I've thrown up like in restaurants.
I got such a good image because
I had strep throat.
No, I didn't think about Market Basket, the store. I thought about the baskets at Market.
Well, no.
And it was little.
It was all over the fucking floor.
There was one time as a kid, I threw up in a bread bowl at a restaurant. Because I was like 4 or 5 at the time, and I did not. My mom did not have time to like, because she always tells me there was this look I would give when I'm about to throw up.
Oh,
she's like, there's a certain look you'd give me, and I'd bolt. And apparently, I did it, and then she just threw the bread bowl in my face because it was just her snap.
Oh my God.
It was just her snap judgment at the time.
Adam throws it into a bread bowl. Oh yeah, I'd like to bring this back to the kitchen.
I wasn't satisfied with our bread.
It needs to be bigger.
Yeah. Oh. I think God. I threw up as a kid, like when my mom was getting her hair done in a salon once.
Yeah. See, that's not bad because everyone in a fucking hair salon wants to literally take care of their clientele.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Hair salons are like this otherworldly retail place where everything is nice and they always offer you water and they genuinely care about your day. Even if they don't.
Yeah.
They make it seem like they do.
I threw up in school once.
Who hasn't thrown up in school?
That's like the worst place I've thrown up.
It is.
I've been in school for about like 5 minutes and just threw up.
That's pretty tame.
What one toy do you wish never existed? That's the question they ask after they've stepped on their kids' fucking toys.
I don't know. I don't think I have a great disdain towards any specific toy.
I do.
Yeah?
My brother had an action figure. Yeah. Like, you know when Star Wars was really popular? Like, after they re-released the original trilogy?
Yes.
And, like, throughout all the late 90s, it was, like, all the figures and things like that.
Yeah.
My brother got one of the Rancor, and he used to stick it in front of my bed and scare me at night.
Oh, my God. If I could pick a toy to not exist, it would literally be fidget spinners. As, like, a toy, you know? For their intended purpose, they'd be okay. I wish they weren't a fad.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't have any great disdain towards toys. Yeah.
Okay.
I just have disdain toward one toy.
Well, just, you fit the criteria one. For this question.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have made it to my shit list. I think I'm all on pretty neutral terms with toys at the worst.
Okay.
Like, maybe new Furbies.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, people say, like, old Furbies are, like, fucking terrifying. I don't care. Those things are, like, okay. Yeah. It's whatever. But new Furbies?
Yeah, they have a reason to be terrifying because I'm pretty sure they were actually made with demons.
Their eyes glow in the dark.
I don't like that. Horrible. I don't like that at all.
No, thank you.
There's one toy that horrifies me.
Yeah.
Not like, in the sense, you know, with glowing eyes, but... I was watching something on Cartoon Network one day, and I saw this commercial for this new, like, Barbie dog playset. Yeah. Probably 30 times.
Is it the poop one?
No, it's not the poop one. Okay. It's the one where they give birth and you just squeeze them. Like, there are these dogs.
Nothing. When I tell you nothing, nothing could have prepared me for the sentence.
They're just these dogs, and you, like, squeeze them and they give birth.
Saying it a second time doesn't make me more prepared.
I just thought it would ground you a little more. It was like you pour water on something on them or something like that.
Are they gremlins?
And then you like squeeze them and then like puppies come out.
That's how gremlins work.
Yeah, it was weird.
I left for a minute. Are we done?
I mean, I don't have a disdain for that toy, but
I want that to not exist. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it with my own two eyes, but I rebuke it.
I'll see if I can find it. I'll show you after the podcast. Thank you. No, I gotta make sure it's real. And I didn't just imagine this.
They also have a Barbie dog toy that poops, but you have to feed it. It's poop to make it poop.
Oh, that's just recycling.
Literally, I typed in Barbie dog, and the first thing that comes up is has puppies. Okay.
I'm about to show this to me on the podcast.
No. I will show it to you on the podcast. I'll show you later.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. I have it ready to go. That's all I got.
Okay. Okay. I guess I'm gonna ask this one because I grappled with this last night. Describe, and keyword is describe, one thing from your childhood that you were not sure existed, but you remember it vividly.
I think I have one, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay. I was on Discord with Dave last night, and I had this thought about this card game that had Punch-Out pirate ships. And you know those, like, church prize boxes that, everyone's church has or whatever? Everyone's, like, kindergarten class has? I had gotten it from that, and I desperately wanted to know what it was. So this is what I Google searched. I will go through my Google search history and tell you guys this. Welcome to my activity. Thank you, Google. Searched my last two searches. Search for new Oreo flavors. Searched for random questions.
I can't think of anything.
Search for is the Palico Watcher Gear event limited? Okay. Oh, I only searched two things. Oh, no, there are 14 items under this. Okay. Yep, there you go. So. Yeah, fix this. Okay. This is going to be a trip for me. Thank Search you, for
no problem.
Figurine builder trading cards. Search for trading cards that you can make ships out of. Search for cards that you can make ships out of. Search for figurine builder cards. Search for help me find it. Search for
Search I remember for mine.
Help me find it subreddit. Searched for punch out cards that you could build things out of with 3 question marks twice. Search for builder punch cards. Searched for builder punch cards oriental trading. Builder
You're getting somewhere.
Builder cards oriental trading twice. And finally, pirate ship board game buildable pieces. It was a card game, a literal board game called Pirates of the Coast. And they have different, like, coasts.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Wait, Android Wear smartwatch 10 times. What? Oh, it's just I used my smartwatch 10 times. What the fuck? 12:56 a.m., 4:42 a.m., 6:10 a.m., 8:23 a.m., 9:28 a.m., 11:13 a.m. I was asleep up until then. And I was not home for most... I was the only one home for like 5 hours of that.
Maybe it was Eugene.
If he got out, I'm fucking returning that cage. I used Animal Crossing Pocket Camp 4 times. Anyway. Yesterday?
I remember mine. So...
Yeah. Detail, please. Yeah, I found mine.
I still haven't found this. This is from a while ago. I remember this, and I looked it up.
We're on
I
a
still
mission.
Can't find it. Like there, so there was this like, you know, back when I was a wee lad, when I was like 5, 6
before
years
you
old,
had
yeah.
beard.
Before I had the beard,
yeah,
I the really really liked 7. Hot Wheels.
Okay,
like most 5 year old boys.
I was on the Hot
Wheels. Hot Wheels and grill.
And there was this one set. I forget what it was. There was this huge-ass track set with a bunch of loop-de-loops and shit. And, like, it came with a CD of, like, the same track, but, like, as a PC game.
Okay.
And, like, I tried looking for this set. It was, like, I tried looking for the game. I tried looking for the set. I still can't remember its name. And I literally went on, like, Wikipedia and looked up, like, a list of Hot Wheels sets. And I looked through all of them, and I could not find it.
Oh, my God, this is the cursed set.
Dan.
Oh, shit.
Have you gone to GameStop and bought Forza recently?
There is a Hot Wheels DLC pack for Forza Horizon 3, okay. And they have a bunch of Hot Wheels tracks, and I almost just bought $80 worth of stuff so I could play these, like, 5 Hot Wheels tracks. Like, oh, man.
I don't
know what
it is. Was it a promotional thing?
I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, I literally
was it
looked
out of a cereal box?
No.
Okay, because I feel like that might be.
Well, you should go to the Help Me Find It subreddit. Because
I
holy
I used
shit,
to get
they
CDs
have found
out of cereal boxes.
Yeah.
Or like the little half CDs that I
yeah.
didn't really know.
Yeah,
to
like
do
those.
With.
Oh
yeah, those were weird.
Yo, those things like Did destroyed my self esteem when it comes to playing games. There was this one, and I got in a fucking cereal box for fucking Treasure Planet, and it was this terrible like top down racing game.
Oh my God.
And it's like this was before I actually like played games. Like the games I'd played prior to this were like Putt-Putt.
Yeah.
So like I played this and I just thought that was how games were.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, all games must be fucking garbage.
Like,
and this is like 5 year old Dan.
Chex Quest is great, actually. but yeah, go to the Help Me Find It subreddit. Holy shit, have they found some obscure things. I was on there for a good 2 hours last night.
God damn.
Trying to see if they had the experience to help me find this thing, but I found my thing. So do you guys have a thing that you have not been able to place?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I can't think of anything.
I had like a 4-month period over the summer where I couldn't find a Winnie the Pooh game.
Okay.
because I only remembered vague snippets
of it. I was in Discord, and, like, we literally searched, like, Winnie the Pooh game and found it in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah. I remember that. I didn't remember a hell of a lot of the game because, like, a lot of them were just, like, Disney games, but they just consisted of a bunch of minigames.
Yeah.
And I only remembered a handful of minigames, and I had, like, 3 versions of this game. So I remembered various minigames, but not all from the same game. But I remembered there was a cupcake decorating one that I really liked, and one where you make soup.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't. But you guys found it.
We found it.
I had this very quickly.
There's only like a handful of Winnie the Pooh computer games.
You would expect there to be a lot.
They made a couple on PS1. Tigger's Honey Hunt is a treasure.
I did also have this phenomenon with what I now know as the mystical journey of the Zumbinis, and it was this like edutainment math game. That I just wanted to play so fucking bad.
I have played for the last couple years. So many fucking edutainment math games.
Have you mentioned that before?
Yes, yeah. I have mentioned it on this podcast before.
I know that name.
I have been like actively been trying to get a virtual machine to run so that I can run this fucking game on it. I can find no downloads of this game, even on like archive.org where they're supposed to be legit. I can't find any to let me play this again.
Yeah, it's like,
and I can't find the discs we had at home either.
That shit is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of games like that in like the edutainment genre.
Yeah.
Which is like a lot of those ones.
Yeah,
like
Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, yo, where in time is Carmen San Diego? The fucking Scholastic mail order PC game.
Yeah. What was the other one? It was.
I had a lot of Scooby Doo edutainment ones.
I had one. I think it was called Prince Albert's Attic or Uncle Albert's Attic or something. That was my first, like, actual video game because it had legitimate puzzles. And I got so fucking happy after I had spent 1 year on the last puzzle to finish the game. And I finally did it.
That was, like, actually me the first time I beat There's No Need to Hide When It's Dark Outside.
Oh, man.
Because I used to always get stuck at the wishing well part and just couldn't progress.
I also remember this one where I think it might have been Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego. But, like, you were in this attic and you could go to, like, Egypt, and also there was a plane room. It might have been 2 separate discs, but like you could click on things and like read about them.
Yeah, that was definitely. No, I remember Egypt in that game too.
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We should resurrect these on a stream.
Yo.
Yo.
Let's do we have a computer old enough to play them?
We can run like. There we go.
All right.
I do.
Also, you can build a computer that can run those for literally for like less than $200.
Yeah. Well, I don't have like, $200, but like I do have a basement full of old computers.
Yeah.
So.
I think we've like
making a PC that's making like a PC that was high end in 1996 is actually like super affordable.
Yeah.
So
believe it or not.
Weird.
There was also this MS-DOS game that was my literal first video game at the ripe old age of 3, I think, called Dark Ages 2.
Okay, I don't know that one.
It was on an 8.5-inch floppy disk.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was cool. We still have that computer, too. But that's, like, a antique at this point. It is a relic. So I think that's going to do it for us. Unless you guys have more old things. Okay.
Yeah. I can just, like, recall a handful of really bad board games that I own, but not really any that I want to, like, dig up and play again.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember Reader Rabbit.
Reader Rabbit was fucking lit. I remember the second grade version had you write a paper.
Oh, man.
I used to try and trick it by just slamming my hands on the keyboard because I didn't want to type.
Did it work?
My creative writing major minor now just weeps at that.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us here on the Lifecast. We'll be back next week with episode 96, and then we'll figure out something to do for episode 100. I don't know. Yeah, that's coming up in just over a month. Mm-hmm. And I won't be away for Valentine's Day on that one, I promise.
Nice.
So yeah, we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.